Welcome to our deep dive into the world of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh, yeah.
You've given us a lot to work with here. Excerpts from the big book.
The big book, yeah.
Including like personal stories and the 12 steps and the traditions.
Big organization's core principles, yeah.
Our mission today is to help you distill the most impactful knowledge from it all.
Absolutely.
Think of this as your shortcut to understanding AA's impact, its evolution, and that unique approach to recovery.
And I think a good place to start would be with the doctor's perspective.
Right.
When AA was first emerging, alcoholism was widely considered a moral failing.
Oh, for sure.
But Dr. Silkworth, whose letter is featured right in the big book, he saw things differently.
It's almost shocking to read now, but he flat out calls it an illness.
Right.
Impacting both body, AD, mind.
Yes.
And get this, he was convinced that for those considered, quote unquote, hopeless cases, AA was the most effective solution.
I think there's a line in his letter that really encapsulates this viewpoint. He says, "People like you are too heartbreaking. There is virtually no other solution."
Wow.
Imagine hearing that from your doctor.
Yeah.
At a time when alcoholism was seen as, you know, a weakness.
Right, like a personal failing.
Exactly.
So it really makes you realize how groundbreaking this medical perspective was.
For sure.
It challenged the social stigma and paved the way for a more compassionate approach to treatment.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of challenging social norms,
yeah.
Bill's story is basically the foundation of the entire AA movement.
Absolutely. His journey from wartime drinking to hitting rock bottom is a powerful example of transformation.
Yes. But what I think is particularly interesting is his initial resistance to the concept of a personal God.
Yeah. He even says he was not much of a theologian.
Right?
Can you imagine founding one of the most well-known spiritual recovery programs while feeling that way?
It really speaks to the fact that AA's approach to spirituality is more nuanced than many people think.
Okay.
Bill's turning point in the hospital where he questions, "Who are you?" to say there is no God. That's really a perfect example.
So it wasn't about forcing a specific belief on him.
Right.
It was about opening himself up to a power greater than himself, whatever that might look like.
Exactly.
But let's not forget, the big book isn't just stories.
Of course not.
It also lays out a clear definition of alcoholism.
Yes.
And it's pretty far from just a bad habit.
Right. It's described as a full-blown disease.
Really?
Characterized by a loss of control over drinking. And that loss of control can have ripple effects.
Yeah.
On your family friendships, even your work life.
Wow.
They even use the term insanity to describe some of the thought patterns that emerge.
That must have been pretty jarring for people to read back then.
Oh, I'm sure.
But did that challenge to conventional wisdom make the concept of recovery more accessible?
It certainly seems that way, especially when you consider the stories that are shared in the book. There's one about a businessman who manages to stay sober for 25 years.
25 years? That's incredible.
Well, you would think he'd have it figured out, right?
He must have felt pretty confident in his ability to handle things.
Exactly. He thought retirement meant he could finally drink moderately. But the big book highlights how that decision led to a severe relapse.
Ouch. That must have been a wake-up call. Not just for him, but for anyone who thinks they can just moderate after years of struggling with alcohol.
Absolutely. And then there's Jim, whose story is used to illustrate the insanity of alcoholic thinking.
Oh, yeah.
He knows relapsing is bad, but he comes up with all these trivial excuses to justify it anyway.
Right. It makes you wonder how much of it is actually about the alcohol itself and how much is about the underlying thought patterns that drive the behavior.
That's one of the key questions that I think the book encourages readers to explore.
Right.
And for many people, this is where the spiritual aspect of AA comes in.
Right. And that was my question, too. After all, not everyone finds comfort in traditional religious settings.
The big book actually addresses this directly, which I thought was really insightful. It acknowledges that a lot of alcoholics, maybe even most, struggle with the concept of God as it's traditionally presented.
So how do they bridge that gap? Do they just skip over the spiritual part?
Not at all.
Okay.
Instead of pushing dogma, they emphasize a power greater than ourselves without prescribing a specific deity or belief system.
So it can be nature, it can be music.
Yeah.
Even the fellowship of AA itself.
Exactly.
It's more about that feeling of connection.
Yes.
And finding strength outside of yourself, right?
Yeah.
Whatever helps you get out of your own head.
Precisely. And this open approach really widens the program's appeal.
For sure.
There's a story about an alcoholic in the hospital who initially rejects the idea of God completely.
Yeah, I bet a lot of us have felt that way at some point, even if it's not about religion specifically.
Sure.
Just that resistance to anything that feels forced upon us.
Right. But then this guy in the hospital has a moment where he asks himself, Who am I to deny God's existence?
Interesting.
That simple shift in perspective from closed off to open to the possibility is what allows him to access the help he needs.
It's like he had to get out of his own way first.
Exactly.
So once you're open to that idea of a power beyond yourself, what's the next step?
Well, that's where the famous 12 steps come in.
Okay, the 12 steps are essentially the core of the program.
Right, they're like a roadmap to personal and spiritual growth.
So not a quick fix, but more like a guide to navigating life's ups and downs in a healthier way.
Exactly.
What exactly are these steps all about?
Well, they cover a lot of ground. Self-reflection, admitting your wrongs, making amends, seeking guidance.
Okay.
And perhaps most importantly, helping others. It's a step-by-step process, but the book makes it clear that working the steps is a continuous journey.
So it's not like you just check them off a list and you're done.
No.
It's more about integrating them into your life as you go.
Exactly. It's about constant evolution and self-improvement.
I see.
A key concept here is ego deflation.
Okay.
Recognizing how our own selfishness can be the root cause of our problems.
That's where the humility comes in.
Right.
It's not about beating yourself up, but about recognizing the role you play in your own struggles.
Exactly.
That can be tough to face.
It can be, but the idea is that by humbling ourselves, we become more open to growth and connection with others.
Right.
Which is a huge part of AA's success.
Speaking of connection, the book really emphasizes the importance of sharing your story and helping other alcoholics.
Yes.
Why is that so vital?
Well, it creates a support system, a community of people who understand what you're going through. They've walked in your shoes, made similar mistakes, and come out the other side.
I see.
There's power in knowing you're not alone.
So it's like turning your pain into purpose.
Yeah, right.
Helping others because you understand their struggle firsthand.
Exactly. And the book even provides a specific table outlining a written inventory for making amends.
Oh, wow.
It really highlights the importance of honesty and thoroughness when you're trying to repair the harm you've caused.
It's not just about saying sorry. It's about looking inward and taking real steps to make things right.
That's right. And the book makes a compelling case for the idea that helping others actually helps us in the process.
Okay.
It's a reciprocal act of healing.
That makes sense. There's something very grounding about shifting your focus outward instead of staying stuck in your own head.
Absolutely.
But let's be honest. Alcoholism's impact extends far beyond the individual. How does the big book address the wives and families of alcoholics?
It actually speaks directly to them, offering a message of understanding and hope.
Okay.
Remember how we talked about Dr. Silkworth viewing alcoholism as an illness?
Uh-huh.
That same perspective is shared with the families.
So instead of blaming the alcoholic, they're encouraged to view the behavior through the lens of illness.
Exactly. It helps to break down the blame and shame that so often surrounds addiction. The book even offers practical advice for navigating the challenges of living with an alcoholic.
Like what kind of advice? It must be hard to know how to support someone who's struggling with addiction.
Well, the book really stresses self-care for family members. Mm. It reminds them that they can't pour from an empty cup. It also encourages them to seek support because they're not alone in this journey.
That's so crucial, having a support system of your own when you're dealing with someone else's addiction.
Yes, it's easy to feel isolated and overwhelmed.
And remember that story about the man contemplating suicide?
Yes, the one who finds new purpose by helping another alcoholic.
It's such a powerful illustration of how service can be a lifeline, not just for the person receiving help, but for the person giving it as well.
Exactly. And the book really emphasizes how that one act of service can spark a chain reaction of recovery, spreading hope and sobriety to others.
It's a beautiful testament to the ripple effect of kindness, wouldn't you say?
It is.
But this theme of service isn't just limited to that one story, is it?
No, it comes up again and again in the personal stories, and that's what we'll be diving into next.
Okay.
You've got this incredible tapestry of experiences woven throughout the big book.
Yeah.
The Mi'kmaq Indian who finds his higher power in nature. The pilot who finds redemption through hard work.
The woman who grows up surrounded by AA but still struggles.
Yep.
It's like the book is saying there's no one right way to recover, but the common thread seems to be finding strength in community and helping others.
That's a great observation. And to ensure that community thrives, there are the 12 traditions.
Okay.
The guiding principles that have shaped AA over the years.
Yes. The traditions, they're like the rule book for how AA operates.
That's a good way to put it.
What are some of the key takeaways there?
Well, one of the most important is anonymity at the public level.
Okay.
It's all about protecting individual members and ensuring that the focus stays on the message, not the messenger.
Makes sense. It removes the temptation for anyone to become a poster child for AA.
Right.
And keeps the emphasis on the shared experience of recovery. What else?
Self-support is another big one. AA is entirely funded by voluntary contributions from its members.
So no big donors or government grants. It's all about members supporting each other.
Exactly. And finally, there's the principle of no central governing authority.
Okay.
Each AA group is autonomous and self-governing.
So it's like a decentralized network of support. Each group operating independently, but united by a common purpose.
It's a fascinating model that has allowed AA to adapt and thrive for decades.
Wow, we've covered a lot of ground already. It's amazing to see how much depth there is to this book.
Yeah.
It's not just a guide to sobriety, but a roadmap to personal and spiritual growth.
It is.
Stay tuned as we continue our deep dive into the world of Alcoholics Anonymous. One of the things that struck me as we were preparing for this deep dive is how the big book approaches the idea of hitting rock bottom.
Yeah.
It comes up a lot in the personal stories.
Right.
But it seems like such a loaded term.
It is loaded, and I think that's intentional. The book doesn't shy away from the harsh realities of alcoholism.
Okay.
But it also uses these stories to offer hope. It's like saying, look, it might get really bad, but there's a way out.
It's not about glorifying the struggle. It's about showing that even in the darkest moments, there's a possibility for change. And each person's rock bottom looks different, right?
Exactly. There's no one-size-fits-all definition.
Yeah. Right. For some people, it's a dramatic event like a DUI, a health scare, a lost job.
Yeah.
But for others, it's a slower, more insidious decline.
So it's not always about a big crash, but sometimes about that gradual erosion of your well-being until you can't ignore it anymore.
Right. And that's where those personal stories can be so powerful.
Okay.
They give us a glimpse into what that process looks like for different people.
Take Dr. Bob's nightmare, for example.
Okay.
Here's a guy who co-founded AA, a respected doctor.
Right.
And even he struggled for years with this cunning, baffling, powerful disease.
Yeah, when you read his story, it's hard to miss the mental torment that he went through. He describes hiding bottles, going to extreme lengths to maintain his addiction.
Wow.
And living in constant fear of running out of alcohol.
It's like the addiction takes over.
Yes.
Becomes this all-consuming force that dictates your every move.
And he talks about the physical toll, too. You know, years of heavy drinking landed him in the hospital multiple times.
Even shackled to the bed in a state of delirium. It's a stark reminder that alcoholism isn't just a social problem. It can have life-threatening consequences.
And his turning point is incredibly moving. He describes hitting rock bottom in the hospital, completely defeated and desperate for a solution.
Yeah, it's like he finally reached a point where he couldn't deny it anymore.
And that moment of surrender seems to be key in a lot of these stories. It's that willingness to admit you're powerless over alcohol and accept that you need help.
Right.
So hitting rock bottom isn't necessarily a failure. It can be the catalyst for change.
Absolutely. It can be the moment where you finally break through the denial and open yourself up to something new. And that something new for many people is the community and support found in AA.
Speaking of community, another story that really stood out to me was Alcoholics Anonymous number 3.
Huh?
The account of an early member from Akron, Ohio, where AA was born.
Oh, that's a great one. It really captures the contagious enthusiasm of early AA, the sense that they had stumbled upon something truly revolutionary.
Yeah, he talks about Bill, the co-founder, being so overcome with gratitude for his newfound sobriety,
yeah,
that he just wanted to share it with the world.
There's a line in there where he recalls Bill saying, "The Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease that I just want to keep telling people about it." You can feel the passion and the conviction in those words.
It's like he had found a lifeline and wanted to throw it to anyone who was drowning.
Exactly. And that sense of gratitude, that desire to help others, is really at the heart of the AA philosophy.
And this early member goes on to describe witnessing others find their own path to a higher power through AA, emphasizing that recovery is about so much more than just not drinking.
It's about personal transformation, finding a deeper meaning in life. And that's something that can resonate with people, even if they've never struggled with addiction.
Absolutely. It speaks to the power of connection, of finding a community of like-minded individuals who support and encourage each other's growth.
Right. And you see this theme of connection and service woven throughout the big book, even in the stories that touch on darker experiences.
Like the Keys of the Kingdom. The story shared by a woman who was instrumental in building AA in Chicago.
Oh, yes.
She paints a pretty vivid picture of her descent into alcoholism, fueled by a sense of emptiness and a relentless pursuit of pleasure.
Yeah, she describes her life as this whirlwind of social events and escapism, but it's clear that beneath the surface, she was deeply unhappy.
And that's something that I think a lot of people can relate to, that feeling of being surrounded by all the trappings of success.
Yes.
But still feeling empty inside.
Absolutely. Her story highlights the fact that alcoholism can affect anyone.
Yeah.
Regardless of social status, wealth, or accomplishment.
It's a reminder that addiction doesn't discriminate.
And for her, the turning point comes when she's introduced to AA and finally encounters people who genuinely understand her struggle.
She's drawn to their serenity, their joy, their capacity for compassion.
Yeah, it's like she saw in them qualities that she longed for in herself.
And through the program, she discovers a new way of living, one grounded in honesty, service, and connection to something greater than herself.
Her story really underscores the transformative power of finding a community where you feel truly seen and accepted.
Right.
Where you can let go of pretenses and embrace your authentic self.
And that authenticity is a thread that runs through so many of these stories. There's a rawness and vulnerability that's incredibly compelling.
One story that really resonated with me on that level was Listening to the Wind.
Okay.
A powerful account shared by a Mi'kmaq Indian woman.
Her story is a poignant exploration of identity, belonging, and the search for a higher power in a world that often felt hostile and unforgiving.
She talks about growing up feeling like an outsider caught between two cultures and struggling to find her place. And she describes how alcohol became a way to numb the pain and escape the harsh realities of her life.
It's heartbreaking to hear her describe the discrimination and prejudice she faced.
It is.
It makes you realize how much strength it took for her to keep going.
Absolutely. And her path to recovery is so beautifully intertwined with her connection to nature and her ancestral heritage.
I love how she uses Mi'kmaq folklore to describe her initial skepticism toward the spiritual aspects of AA.
Yes.
She talks about the little people called Bugalo Demushas who play tricks on people in the night.
It's such a vivid image, and it's a great example of how individuals can find their own unique paths to connecting with a higher power, even if it's outside of traditional religious frameworks.
Her story also highlights the importance of finding a community that embraces and celebrates your cultural identity.
Right.
Which can be especially challenging for people from marginalized groups.
For sure. And for her, AA provided that sense of belonging, a place where she could be her true self without judgment or shame.
That sense of belonging can be so powerful, especially when you spent so much of your life feeling like an outsider.
Absolutely. And it's something that comes up again and again in these stories. Wow. This idea that recovery is not just about individual effort, but about finding connection and support within a community.
And sometimes that means facing the uncomfortable truth that even when you grow up immersed in the world of AA, like the woman empty on the inside,
yeah,
the journey to recovery is still a deeply personal one.
Her story is a reminder that you can't inherit recovery. You have to find your own way.
She talks about feeling like she always had to act as if she had it all together, hiding her insecurities and pretending to know all the answers because she was surrounded by AA her whole life.
Yeah, it's that pressure to conform, to live up to expectations that can be so stifling. And it's something that I think a lot of people can relate to, even if they haven't grown up in AA.
Right.
We all have those moments where we feel like we have to put on a brave face.
And for her, alcohol became a way to escape that pressure, to numb the pain of feeling lost and disconnected.
But it's clear that she was yearning for something more, something deeper. She wanted to be a good mother, a reliable friend, a person of integrity.
And her turning point comes when she witnesses the strength and resilience of other AA members. She sees them working the program with honesty and commitment, and she realizes that she too can find that same freedom and peace.
Her story is a powerful reminder that recovery is a lifelong journey, a process of continual growth and self-discovery.
And it underscores the importance of finding your own personal connection to the program beyond just knowing the steps or the slogans.
Right. It's about internalizing the principles and making them your own.
You know, another theme that emerges from these stories is the importance of taking action, of actually putting in the work to change your life.
Yeah.
It's not enough to just want to be different.
Right.
You have to do something about it.
Exactly. And Gutter Bravado is a great example of that.
Okay.
The man who shares his story in that chapter really pulls no punches when describing his descent into homelessness, addiction, and despair.
It's a gritty, honest account of hitting rock bottom and feeling completely trapped in a vicious cycle.
Mm. Yeah, he talks about living hand to mouth, sleeping in seedy hotels, and battling the constant urge to drink. You can almost feel the desperation in his words.
It's a stark reminder that for some people, rock bottom is a very real and dangerous place.
But even in that darkness, there's a glimmer of hope. He encounters an old friend who's found sobriety through AA. And for the first time, he sees a possibility for himself.
It's like that friend becomes a living example of what's possible. A beacon of hope in a seemingly hopeless situation.
Exactly. And he decides to give the program a try, attending meetings and working the steps with a newfound commitment.
And what's interesting is that he talks about how AA gave him a we in his life.
Right.
A sense of community and belonging that he'd never experienced before.
That's such a powerful statement. It speaks to the profound impact that connection can have on the recovery process. It's not just about getting sober. It's about finding a place where you feel supported and understood.
And through that fellowship and the support of his sponsor, he slowly starts to build a new life, one grounded in honesty, service, and connection to a higher power.
It's a beautiful illustration of how taking action, even when you feel completely lost, can lead to incredible transformation.
You know, as we're talking about these stories, I'm struck by how the theme of hitting rock bottom keeps coming up.
Yeah.
But as you said earlier, there's no one definition of what that looks like.
Right. It's a very personal experience. And Grounded, the story shared by a pilot whose alcoholism cost him his career,
why?
Is a great example of that. His descent into addiction was much more gradual.
Okay.
Starting with social drinking that slowly escalated into a dependence he could no longer control.
So it wasn't a dramatic crash, but a slow and insidious decline.
Right.
He talks about hiding bottles, making excuses for his drinking, and feeling increasingly isolated from his loved ones.
He was living a double life, trying to maintain a facade of normalcy while battling a growing sense of shame and despair.
And his turning point comes when he's arrested for drunk driving. It's a wake-up call that forces him to confront the consequences of his actions.
Yeah, it's interesting how often legal trouble seems to be a catalyst for change in these stories.
I think it's because it brings the consequences of your actions into such sharp focus.
Yeah.
You can't ignore it anymore.
Right. And even then, denial can be a powerful force.
Oh, absolutely. He initially resists the idea that he has a problem clinging to that belief that he can manage his drinking on his own.
Right. But deep down, he knows something has to change. He's tired of the chaos, the shame, the constant fear of losing everything.
And what's so inspiring about his story is his determination to rebuild his life after hitting rock bottom. He goes through a rigorous process of rehabilitation, earning back his pilot's license, and eventually regaining his career.
It's a testament to the transformative power of recovery and the human capacity for redemption. And his story emphasizes that recovery is an ongoing process, not a one-time fix. He says, at one point, God willing, we may never again have to deal with drinking, but we have to deal with sobriety every day.
That line really struck me, too. It's a reminder that sobriety is a daily commitment.
Yes.
A conscious choice to live a life free from addiction. And it's not always easy.
It's not. But the Big Book offers a framework for navigating those challenges, for staying connected to the principles that guide a sober life.
And one of those principles is honesty. The importance of honesty and self-reflection is really driven home into action, where a man comes to terms with the devastating impact his drinking has had on his life and the lives of those around him.
He describes a pattern of broken promises, failed attempts at control, and a growing sense of hopelessness.
He talks about the shame and guilt he felt, knowing that his drinking was hurting the people he loved most.
But what's remarkable about his story is his willingness to finally take responsibility for his actions.
Huh.
He goes through a rigorous process of making amends, acknowledging the harm he's caused, and taking concrete steps to repair relationships.
He writes letters of apology, visits people he's wronged, and makes a conscious effort to live a life of integrity and accountability.
His story really highlights the importance of taking ownership of our mistakes, not just in the context of addiction, but in life in general. It's about acknowledging the pain we've caused and taking concrete steps to make things right.
And it's about embracing the transformative power of forgiveness.
Yes.
Both for ourselves and for those we've hurt.
Absolutely. And while his story is focused on making amends for the past, the Big Book also offers guidance for navigating the present, particularly for those who are living with an alcoholic.
And you're talking about the chapter to wives, right?
Yes. It's a heartfelt and compassionate message to the women who have endured the pain and heartbreak of living with an alcoholic husband.
It acknowledges the immense burden they carry.
Yeah.
The emotional roller coaster of hope and despair.
Right.
The constant worry and fear for their loved ones.
It validates their experiences, reassuring them that they're not alone in their struggle.
And it reinforces the idea that alcoholism is a disease urging wives to view their husband's behavior through the lens of illness rather than moral failing.
Exactly. It encourages them to detach with love, to focus on their own well-being, and to seek support from others who understand what they're going through.
And it even offers practical advice for navigating the challenges of living with an alcoholic.
Right.
Emphasizing the importance of setting boundaries, seeking professional help, and prioritizing self-care.
And importantly, it speaks to the power of hope. It reminds wives that recovery is possible, that their husbands can find sobriety and reclaim their lives.
It's a message of resilience, of strength, and of the enduring power of love and compassion.
Yes.
Even in the face of immense challenges.
And these themes of resilience, hope, and transformation are woven throughout all of the stories we've explored so far.
Right.
But there are even more to unpack, each offering its own unique perspective on the journey of recovery and the human capacity for change.
I can't wait to dive into the next batch. Stay tuned as we continue our exploration of the Big Book and its enduring legacy. As we go through these stories, one thing that really sticks out is that idea of denial.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like a character in itself, you know?
Yeah, right.
This force that keeps people trapped in addiction, even when it's clear that, you know, things are falling apart.
Yeah, and it's not even limited to alcoholism.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it in all sorts of challenging situations.
Totally.
People just refusing to face difficult truths because the alternative is just too painful.
Exactly. And that's what makes the story Safe Haven so interesting. It's the story of a radio storm chaser.
Oh, wow.
So somebody who seems to thrive on risk and adrenaline, but whose life is ultimately thrown into chaos by his addiction.
He describes this incredible life chasing storms, pushing boundaries,
living
on the edge. But you can sense that beneath the bravado, there's this growing emptiness and fear that he's losing control.
And his drinking escalates to the point where it starts affecting his work, his relationships, everything.
Everything, yeah.
He's blacking out, making reckless decisions, pushing everyone away.
Right.
But even when it's clear that he's spiraling, he holds on to that belief that he can handle it.
Yeah.
That he can manage his drinking on his own. Classic denial, clinging to the illusion of control, because the alternative, admitting you have a problem, is just too terrifying.
And that fear is so relatable, even if you've never struggled with addiction.
Absolutely.
We've all been there, avoiding that doctor's appointment, putting off that difficult conversation, because facing the truth feels overwhelming.
It's a very human response. But what's remarkable about this story is that even though he's deep in denial, there's a part of him that knows he needs to change.
Right. He's tired of the chaos, the shame, the constant fear of losing everything.
And that's what finally leads him to AA. He gets arrested for drunk driving, which becomes that wake-up call that forces him to confront the reality of the situation.
That moment of crisis seems to be a recurring theme in a lot of these stories.
It does, yeah.
It's like it takes hitting rock bottom to finally shatter that illusion of control and open yourself up to the possibility of change.
Yeah, but even then, it's not always smooth sailing. I mean,
for sure.
He attends his first AA meeting with this mix of apprehension and desperation. Not sure what to expect, but hoping for a lifeline.
And he finds it not necessarily in the structure of the program itself.
Right.
But in the connection he experiences with others who understand his struggle.
Exactly. He sees himself reflected in their stories, hears their testimonies of transformation.
Right.
And it sparks a glimmer of hope.
It's that feeling of not being alone, of knowing that others have walked a similar path and come out on the other side, that can be so powerful.
It's a reminder that recovery isn't just about willpower or individual effort. It's about community, about finding a support system that can help you navigate the challenges and celebrate the victories.
And that sense of community is often nurtured through service. You know, that idea of using your own experiences to help others.
Yeah.
It's a concept that runs deep in the Big Book and AA as a whole.
It's beautifully illustrated in the story, A Vision for You, where a man struggling with despair finds redemption through helping another alcoholic find sobriety.
It's almost like he stumbles into it.
Yeah.
This act of kindness that ends up transforming both of their lives.
He describes it as a moment of profound change. His own pain and suffering become the catalyst for compassion and a desire to make a difference.
And it's not just about selflessness. It's about recognizing that by helping others, we often end up helping ourselves.
Exactly. It shifts your focus outward, allows you to escape the self-centeredness that can fuel addiction, and gives you a sense of purpose that goes beyond your own struggles.
And this act of kindness doesn't end there. It sparks a chain reaction of recovery, inspiring others to reach out for help, and creating a ripple effect of hope throughout the community.
Yeah, it's a powerful reminder that we all have the capacity to make a difference in the lives of others, even in the midst of our own challenges, and that in doing so, we often discover unexpected sources of strength and healing.
That message of resilience and transformation is echoed in Another Chance, the story of a woman who overcomes immense challenges to find sobriety and reclaim her life.
Her story is incredibly moving. She describes a life marked by poverty addiction and a series of traumatic experiences that would have broken many people.
She talks about feeling trapped in a cycle of despair, making choices that led to heartache and regret.
Right.
But even in those dark moments, she never lost that desire to change.
She's like a flame that kept flickering, even when it seemed like everything around her was consumed by darkness. And when she's finally introduced to AA, it's like finding kindling for that flame.
She embraces the principles of the program, finds strength in the fellowship, and begins to confront her past with honesty and courage.
She talks about the importance of making amends, of acknowledging the harm she caused, and taking steps to repair relationships.
And she describes this incredible feeling of liberation that comes with letting go of guilt and shame,
Yeah.
like a weight being lifted from her shoulders.
It's a testament to the resilience of the human spirit, the power of forgiveness, and the transformative nature of service.
Because she doesn't just stop at her own recovery.
Right.
She goes on to become a pillar of her AA community, dedicating her time and energy to helping others find the same freedom and peace she's discovered.
It's like she takes that pain she's experienced and turns it into a source of strength and healing for others.
And in doing so, she finds a sense of purpose and fulfillment that transcends her own personal
Yeah,
struggles.
it's a beautiful example of how service can be a path not only to recovery, but to a deeper sense of meaning and connection in life.
You know, as we wrap up this deep dive into the Big Book, I'm struck by the sheer range of experiences represented in these stories, from doctors to pilots, from housewives to Native American women, from those who experienced a slower, more insidious decline. The common thread seems to be this profound desire for change and the willingness to do the work to make it happen.
It really speaks to the universality of the human experience, doesn't it? We all have our struggles, our demons, our moments of darkness, but we also have this incredible capacity for growth, for healing, for transformation.
And the Big Book offers a powerful reminder that we don't have to go through those challenges alone. There's strength in community and sharing our stories and offering and receiving support.
And while the book is specifically focused on alcoholism, the principles and teachings contained within it have resonated far beyond the realm of addiction.
Absolutely. It's a book about facing our fears, confronting our shortcomings, and finding a path to a more authentic and meaningful life.
Ah.
It's a book about hope, resilience, and the transformative power of human connection.
And I think that's why it continues to resonate with people today, even those who have never struggled with addiction. It speaks to something deeper, something universal about the human condition and our search for meaning and purpose.
Well said. And on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive into the world of Alcoholics Anonymous.
We hope you found this exploration insightful and thought-provoking.
And we encourage you to continue reflecting on the stories we've discussed and consider how their teachings might apply to your own life, whether you're facing personal challenges, seeking spiritual growth, or simply looking for ways to make a difference in the world.
Until next time, keep seeking, keep growing, and keep believing in the power of human connection and the transformative potential within each of us.